apocalyptic vision in Revelation. We're in chapter 5, looking at verses 1 through 14 of this chapter. And we're talking about the scroll and the Lamb. Okay? John records for us that we started looking at this this part last week, this beginning part here. It says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, which is who? God, okay? He held a scroll. And he describes that scroll as having writing on both sides. And then it being sealed with seven seals. We're going to look in the next part at the unsealing of the scroll, okay? Each one of the seals and so forth. But for right now, the focus is on the scroll as a whole in terms of whether or not it can be opened. Okay? He says, I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice. What do you suppose this mighty angel? Why do you describe him in that way? We talked a little bit last week about angels. We're not going to go into a complete study of angels right now, but he says it's a mighty angel rather than just an angel. Could very well be. And again, I mentioned this, I think, last time when we finish our study in Revelation, maybe we'll take the time and do a study on angels. We take a few weeks to do that. Interesting study. We're going to look at all the different things the Bible has to say about angels. But from that, we can look at and see there are a lot of different kinds of angels. Okay, different types of angels, and different angels have different responsibilities, different tasks that God has given to them. There appears to be, from the scripture, and I'll use the term class of angels, that are, in a sense, they're kind of special agents, so to speak, for God, all right? They are tasked with doing very special things. Now, you know, when you think about it in terms of angels, well, I think anything an angel does is special, okay? But these angels, and I'm talking about the archangels, okay, that we know mentioned, we were talking about them some last week, we know of who? By name? Michael and Gabriel. And Lucifer, okay, at least those three that are appear to be, from what the scriptures say, of a higher authority amongst the angels themselves. They seem to be, in a sense, a leadership position amongst the angels of God, okay? And when we see them delivering messages and doing things, they have a very special task, okay? We find angels that are doing things throughout the scriptures, and they're appearing and doing giving messages and so forth, but we don't find those angels being given names, okay? And we don't see them doing the really, really special things that these angels. So here, John just describes this angel as a mighty angel. Could be mighty in strength, mighty in position. Okay? Certainly those possibilities are there. Whatever capacity and whoever this angel was, John sees him as a mighty angel, okay? That his task before him was something that was appears to be a very special task that he has, okay? Perhaps that an ordinary angel would not be equipped to handle. So therefore, he is a mighty angel. We'll find this same reference a couple of other places. Chapter 10, chapter 18, as we go along, we'll see him refer to a mighty angel in this way. Okay? So this mighty angel, he says, he saw proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. Right? So we have this scroll that no one is able to open or look in. And then he says, this is John speaking, he says, I wept. And wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or to look inside. Okay? Is this scroll all about? Well, we're going to find that out as we get into chapter 6, okay? As it gets opened and we start seeing the seals removed and so forth. But no one has found the word. Do what? It requires a special person or being to be able to do that. In other words, the language that is here speaks of qualifications. Okay? When he talks about ability, he says no one was able to open it, okay, or worthy, okay? It speaks of the qualifications here, all right? That to this point, this is something that not any being, not anyone can just open, okay? Even the mighty angel that is there can't open this scroll. And again, whose hand is the scroll in? It's in God's hand.
Amen.
Okay? Do what now? Okay. So, John finds himself weeping. Here is a scroll, and the scroll at this point basically represents what? What do you think of when you think of a scroll? Any scroll? It's got information on it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's got information there. That information is information that is needed to be gotten out, okay? But right now, nobody's been found that can open it and release that information.
The answer.
Okay.
Told that we're going to be shown the world shortly come past.
Right.
And so far, he hasn't done that.
Right.
He's seen the throne. He's seen, but he hasn't seen the information of what's going to happen.
Right.
What
you know, here's the scroll. This is the stuff I need, okay? But how am I going to get the stuff I need if nobody can open it? Okay. There are special qualifications that have to be met in order for the one who opens that scroll to be found worthy to do so. That's I think, the main point we need to focus on with this. Okay? Again, it's not just anybody can open it. But the one who can open it is qualified, is worthy to do so, has earned that right to do so.
Amen.
Okay? Judy?
I think what this is, it has to be somebody who is worthy in the eyes of God to open
okay.
the scroll. And only one really is worthy to do that.
Okay, all right. Verse 5, one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered." Okay, has conquered. That's a key word here. All right? So that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. What is it that makes the one, the only one that can open it, worthy to do so? Because he is the conqueror. What he has accomplished, he has conquered. When he uses that word conquered, what is he referring to?
Death.
Yeah.
He has conquered
man.
Death. Yeah. That one as who? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay, we talked about this some last week. The Root of David. Okay, here's another graphic of the same thing. Okay, when we think of and you look at some of the texts where. We find the Lion of Judah. Jesus is described as such in Hebrews
Amen.
Chapter 7 and verse 14. Okay. Jacob himself in Genesis 49 verses 8 and 9 referred to Judah as a lion. Okay. When you think about a lion and all of the qualities and so forth of a lion, what are the kinds of things that come to mind?
Strength.
Do what?
King.
King. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Why is he king? He's a conqueror, but he has power. Okay, a lion is perhaps, you know, pound for pound, jaw for jaw, teeth for tooth, and all those claw for claw is perhaps the most powerful animal in the kingdom. That's why he's referred to as the king.
The king.
All right? Yes. There are not many things in the wild that can conquer a lion. Not many that will even take on. Hyenas, a pack of hyenas will try. But you know, all the things that I've seen and read about it, even a pack of them is not very successful. See? So, you know, you look at those kind of qualities and those are associated with Judah, okay? And which is the line that Jesus comes from, right? Okay, and then also, you know, there are several prophecies that refer to the Messiah who would come, would sit where? on David's throne. Okay? He was a descendant of David. Right? So here, this elder, okay, one of the elders who was there, speaks of these things. Don't weep any longer. There's no reason for you to weep. Okay? Because there is one who is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. There's only one. But there is one. Okay? That is a message of what? Hope.
Hope. Yes, sir.
Message of hope.
Amen. Okay.
Why is John weeping? Because he's in despair, feeling hopeless. If no one is qualified, no one is able, then the situation is hopeless for us to be able to find out what's in the scrolls, right? But the elder reassures him, it is not hopeless. There is hope because there is one and only one who is worthy, who is qualified, and he is worthy and qualified because he has conquered. He is a conqueror. Okay? And so the scroll and its seals will be open. Okay? He goes on then to talk about this lamb that he sees. Okay? I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, circled by the four living creatures. We saw the pictures of that, you know, we were looking at those earlier. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits. Seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So we have this lamb that looks like it has been slain. And he's got seven horns and seven eyes. Okay? It is standing, he says, right, which indicates that the lamb, though it looks like it had been slain, is actually what? Alive. It's actually alive. Okay? So it had been slain, but it is alive. An important part of the message. Why? Because that's how he conquered death, by rising again. Even though he was dead, he is now alive. And through that death, burial, and resurrection, okay, he conquered death.
Amen.
Satan's goal was to have him killed. Okay? Because Satan did not foresee the resurrection. All right? But in the resurrection, he was able to conquer death. John records for us in John chapter 2, where John the Baptist sees Jesus approaching and says what? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. All right, now, I may have said this before. I don't know. It doesn't hurt for you to hear it again if I did. If you go and you look at the Hebrew, okay, and you compare it to the Greek and the two different languages, the wording, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I just kind of take this by those who are, their word. When Abraham and Isaac were going up the mountain, for Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You remember what Isaac asked his father? He said, Father, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?
There you go.
And Abraham responded by saying what? God will provide the lamb for the sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, in John, in the Greek, I'm told that the language, the wording is the same. And it literally says, when John says, the Lamb of God, he says, behold the sacrificial lamb of God's providing. Literally, that's what it means. The very same thing that Abraham was saying to his son Isaac. God will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. Behold the sacrificial lamb of God's providing. All right, now, also keep in mind that under the law, God required the lambs that were offered as sacrifices to be what kind of lambs?
Perfect.
Year-old lambs without what? Without blemish or spot or defect. Okay? Behold, the sacrificial lamb of God's providing. The lamb was sacrificed. It was killed. Now, one statement that I think oftentimes is so overlooked in the scriptures as we read through the gospel accounts. Okay? Jesus, after he had was hanging on the cross, it says what? He breathed his last.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, when the soldiers came, okay, they want to get this execution over with, okay? They came to break the legs of those who were hanging there, right? So that they could speed up their death, right? And when they came to Jesus, what does it say? What did they see?
He was
already dead. Now, some people would say, well, you know, that was their opinion.
No, it won't.
Okay?
That's a fact.
Let me tell you something. The Roman soldiers who conducted executions, they knew the difference between life and death.
Amen.
Okay? They knew when one was dead and when one wasn't. That's why they would break the legs of the ones who weren't dead yet. And the ones who were alive, or who were already dead, didn't have to worry about it. Their task was to do what? To kill the person.
That's right.
Once they were dead, there wasn't any more reason to do anything.
That's
okay?
Right. Amen.
So their declaration, that again, we so often overlook as part of the scripture, is a very important declaration. Because it says the lamb was slain. He was dead. Okay? Now, John sees him as standing. He is no longer dead. He is alive. He accomplished what needed to be accomplished. Okay? Nope. I'm sorry, Captain. Well, the wording, I understand the wording that as Abraham was speaking to his son, he was saying that, saying that God will provide this, the lamb for the sacrifice. And in the Greek, when John's saying it, it's the same language, same wording. God, this is the lamb that God has provided. So in other words, it's declaring without any doubt whatsoever what the source of that sacrifice was. It came from God. Okay? Anything else? Any other thoughts or comments on that at all? Okay? So we have the lamb that is standing, and where is he standing, by the way? Standing in the center, isn't he? Okay? may be a small thing, or as one person noted, he's not on the throne, but there in the center of attention. All eyes that are gathered there are where? On him. They're all on him. The Lamb is further described as having seven horns and seven eyes. Horns are basically a symbol of what in the scriptures? Not royalty as much as power. Okay? Horns are a symbol of power. Okay? Right. Okay. Seven, go back to your symbols.
Perfect number.
Perfect number, right? So therefore, this lamb that was slain has what kind of power? All power.
All power.
Okay? He is all power.
Yes, sir.
Okay? He's got seven eyes that are described as the seven spirits of God. The eyes, we talked about this a little bit before, represent what? All seeing.
All seeing that.
Nothing can be hidden
from God.
From him.
Amen.
Okay? So therefore, this lamb that has been slain but now is standing, is alive, is all powerful, and is all seeing. Nothing can be hidden from God. His sight, and nothing can be taken out of his control. He has, in other words, with that number seven, complete power, and is able to see everything. Okay? He took the scroll. Okay? Verse 7, he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, right? And each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are... He describes it here. What are the bowls of incense? The prayers of the saints. Okay? Who are the saints? That's we-ins. Okay? Us-ins and them's. Those who have already died and those who are still here. Okay? We are all saints.
Amen.
Okay? They sang a new song. I'm going to make sure I don't get too far ahead of myself in the notes here. Other than that, you know, we find so many different references, and we talked about here, that sang a new song. A harp is a musical instrument that, you know, perhaps was singing the song by. But I don't know of any special symbolical reference to the harps themselves, other than that. One of the things that I think that we see over and over again is that singing is going to be a big thing in heaven.
Amen.
Right. Singing is going to be a big thing there. And if you don't know how to sing, you don't feel like you can sing very well here, don't worry about it. Because along with that new body that you get a new voice probably too. And so the singing is just going to be glorious. And there'll be probably some harps there in heaven that'll be tuning everything, so we're singing on key. All right, Chuck. new song, right? Singing a new song. And he describes that song, doesn't he? Okay? I don't know that you can't really read the small print up there on that, but if you have your Bible open, which you should because we're studying the Bible, right? Okay, what is this song that he says here? You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So here's a new song that they are singing.
I'm talking about Jesus, correct?
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. And one thing, and we'll see this again as we go through our study, chapter 7 will come upon this, but he purchased men for God from where? From every tribe and language and people and nation, right? Not just for one group exclusively, right? Certainly not just for the Jews, but God's intention, and you go back to the promise that he made to Abraham was what?
All nations
of the earth will be blessed. See? And that's included in the new song. All nations have been blessed by the Lamb that was slain, but is now alive and able to open the scroll. Okay? He says, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb. You can read it better. It's on the bottom of that other picture, but you can read it better here. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Okay? Nothing should be held back from the one who is worthy because he has been slain. Okay? If you go over to Colossians chapter 1, Paul there describes Jesus. The very last part of that description, he goes on talking about that he is the creator of all things and so forth. And it says that in all things, verse 18, he might have the preeminence.
Amen.
Okay? Which literally means first place. Okay? In how many things?
All
things. We keep talking about that word. We keep seeing it in scriptures over and over again, don't we? How much of everything in the world is excluded from him?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. See? Because he has it all. And certainly because of what he has accomplished is worthy of that. Okay? Any thoughts? Comments? Okay, this last section here, verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Glory and honor and power forever and ever. couple of times.
Is there some?
Sits on the throne. And to him the power, the honor, and glory, praise forever and ever. The four living creatures said amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. John, up to this point, had a tremendous blessing of being able to look into the throne room of Almighty God and to see. You remember he talked about the things that would take place after. Part of what is going to take place after is that you and I will be in that place, worshiping and praising and singing to God in this way. Now, in the meantime, okay, part of, again, the purpose of these writings is to do what? Give us encouragement, okay? And as we talked about last Sunday in our worship time, that every time we gather together like this on the first day of the week, we have the opportunity, the blessing, to be able to come together to worship Almighty God, to enter into that throne room, to approach His throne of grace with confidence, and to worship Him. And know this, that while we are doing that here in this place, all of these creatures, angels and deacons and elders and all of those saints that are already there are doing the same thing. Any thoughts or comments? Annette? Well, again, I think it's just the statement has to do with the all-seeing nature of God. That God is a spirit and there is nothing that is hidden from Him. Okay? Right, the completeness of it. Yeah, again, remember over and over again, we keep talking about this. Don't get caught up in the specifics, you know, of numbers and so forth. Look at the symbolism of it and what does it mean. Okay? There is nothing in all creation that can be hidden from God. To know that the prayers that you offer, that we offer, are there in God's throne. They are there presented before Him. Okay?
I think too often we just listen and we send it to them and tomorrow, you know, he's going home to somebody else, but he's collected all of them. He never dismisses.
Is he really listening? You know, and so forth. Yeah, those prayers, they are an incense, a sweet savor to Him. Okay? And they are collected by those that are there, and they are presented to Him. Okay? And so is it any wonder why we've seen God answer so many of our prayers in so many awesome ways? Okay, I'm sorry,
Ray. I'm sorry. Sometimes I And then I wonder if we pray too much. I don't mind praying. I wear my sometimes. I just hey, boy, you back again?
You think that bowl gets filled up? Is that what you're saying? I don't think those bowls ever get filled up.
I don't think so. You know, you want
that. Okay. Next week we will begin opening the scroll. Chuck? Yes, I'm finished. Yeah, you got a couple, two more minutes.
Well, I would, if I could, since all the saints are gathered here
yes.
this morning, I dropped Ursula off at the airport.
Okay.
Chuck gave me contact information for her.
Okay, I was going to ask her, but she never gave me any.
I know, but she's got good information.
Okay, good.
She had to call, you know, and
we will certainly do that. And, you know, you got the information to her, where the brethren are there. What's happened is that she's just been passed on to some other folks to be able to continue to guide her, encourage her. But absolutely, I'm convinced that the Lord brought her into your life and our lives, I think primarily because he knew she was ready to be saved. See? So what's happened, I don't know if you realize this or not, I don't know if all of you realize this or not, but our Jerusalem just expanded. Okay? Just expanded, even that much more. So, let's go to God in prayer. Our God, we come to you this morning and thank you so much for this opportunity we've had to be together this morning and to open up your word and, Father, to just be able to see what you have in store for us. To give us the hope and the encouragement that we need to press forward so that one day we will be with you in that just amazingly beautiful throne room that is ascribed to us by John. We can worship you forever and ever. Father, this morning we have on our hearts our sister Ursula, our baby sister, who is no longer physically in our presence, but Father, is part of our Jerusalem. As we pass her on to our brethren over in Germany, we pray, Father, that you will hold her close to you. Father, that you will use the brethren there to help her to grow, to encourage her, to strengthen her. Father, just to be with her. Father, we thank you for the blessing, the privilege of being a part of her life, even for this short time that it's been. But Father, your purpose has been fulfilled in that. And we thank you for using us in that way. Father, thank you so much for the lamb that was slain but is now standing in your presence. We pray all of this in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right.